Are you ready to take your writing to the next level? Then welcome to the Book Editor Show. Join Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley each week as they teach you all the tips, tools, and techniques you need to move your book from manuscript to market. Visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books, and extras to make your old novel better than ever. Now, please welcome Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley.
Welcome to the Book Editor Show. Today, we are discussing how you can raise the stakes in your manuscript. If you're ready to move forward with your professional editing, stop by thebookeditorshow.com. We can help in every stage of your work, from pre-production, developmental editing, copy editing, to proofreading. Stop by today and let us know how we can help you build a better book. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and he once played in a poker game with J.K. Rowling, Stephanie Myers, and George R.R. Martin. The game lasted over 39 hours, and instead of playing for money, they were gambling on who was allowed to publish what and when. Guess who won? He's my friend and co-host, Peter Turley. Peter, when are you going to let George put out the next book?
Well, he kind of ran out, you know, a few games in, and he had to start gambling with his characters. Uh-huh. And well, you can see how that ended up.
Yeah, that is a bad one. So, yeah, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay that you're holding.
I'll raise you a Jon Snow.
And I'm perfectly fine that you're keeping Stephanie Myers out of publishing anything new. That's all right. So,
oh no, it's coming.
There's only so much time left. Well, it would have been a good game to see.
That's what's at stake for the whole world.
So, you're looking very. Is it actually sunny there in England?
Yeah, our 3 days of summer have been gifted to us this week. So, you know, do not adjust your monitors if you're watching this live. This is actually the color of my face today.
Well, it looks good to get some color once a year.
Yes. So, yeah, how are you doing?
Really well. So, a lot of projects going on right now to take care of. A lot of editing that I'm doing, and which is just great. It's just so much fun being able to get in and work with people on their projects, especially the like this week I have three that I'm doing that are just outlines, like just helping them work out outlines before they start writing the book. And that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be in that pre-production stage. It's almost like being in a writer's room, you know, where you can toss out ideas and, oh, what if this would work? What if you did this instead? So that's that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's great, because I think I don't think that's like an area where a lot of people reach out for help on. You know, they almost perhaps think that, you know, you've got to wait till you've got a finished piece to then, you know, try and seek someone else's input or advice. But I think that's just a great idea, because, you know, you've not invested all this time at that point. You know, you can, because that's the whole point of a critique group, isn't it? You can bounce ideas off each other and go with the good ones and leave the bad ones behind. So I think that's just awesome.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that hold off on doing something like this because they're afraid that I'm just going to steal all their ideas. But guess what? I have no time. Like I got no time to write my own books that I want to work on, because I'm working on everyone else's stuff. So So well, today I'm excited. We're talking about steak. And I love steak. I love cooking
steak.
A nice steak.
It's so hard not to think of it when you say it, isn't it? How do you like your steaks?
Well, I like it. I like a little bit of blood, a little bit of bloody in the middle there of my steak, you know.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And, you know, funnily enough, readers do too.
They do. They like to have steaks be a little bit bloody and braise them up just a little bit. So.
Yeah.
So we're definitely not talking about the food steak. When we're talking about raising the stakes, we're not talking about breeding cattle. So we want to talk about being able to make changes in the book so that it's going to help engage readers. So when we talk about stakes, we're talking about what's at stake, you know, what matters to the protagonist and your characters, and also what's at a larger stake with the plot or the global stakes that would be involved in the story.
Unless it's a witch, and then the stake literally is the stake.
Or vampires.
That's what's at stake. Or vampires, yeah.
No. But
we're trying to get all the bad jokes out
yeah,
now.
We really so. Are.
It's fertile ground, so you know.
So Peter, when would you raise the stakes?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I think that is worth considering, because I think this is definitely something to do during the revision process, but it's easy to fall into that trap of thinking we need to always raise the stakes, you know, like that every decision a character makes has to be a high stake decision, you know, otherwise the story is going to be boring, it's going to fall flat, and it's not going to compel the reader to move on. But I think that, you know, considering that they're not always going to be high and you can kind of vary it is really helpful. But a good place to start, I would say, is the turning points. And I think that's what a lot of people do. You know, they consider your inciting incident at the end of each act and the midpoint of the novel are a great points, natural feeling points to raise the stakes up.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about that, you know, like I liked how you mentioned, you know, you don't always have to be out there raising the stakes, and we can raise stakes at different levels. You know, we can have really crazy high stakes, you know, like if you're talking about a thriller and all of a sudden now someone's been kidnapped or something like that. But we could also be talking about minor and small stakes as well. So if you a long time listener, we talked about motivational reaction units quite a long time ago, and these have goals. You know, they try to attempt it. It's after a desire. They try to attempt it. It fails. They react and then try to figure something else out. And these are great spots in small doses where you can raise stakes in small ways. Where I remember, you know, we were talking about the guy going down to buy a soda, I think is what it was, you know, and the stakes there were getting raised by all the people that he's running into, you know, like all of a sudden it's the old girlfriend, you know, and that raises the stakes a little bit, because now all of a sudden he, you know, wants to stay away from the embarrassment. You know, that is a small stake raise.
Yeah. And again, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? Because it's small in regard to plot. So, you know, it would be considered a small stake, but then if it's highly embarrassing to that character, i.e., you know, it's the ex-girlfriend or it's a situation they don't want to be in, then it can still be a high stake to them, but not high stake in regard to the plot. So there's still, you know, it's still effective. It still makes us cringe. It still gives us that reaction as a reader, but it still leaves room, you know, for us to really raise them later in regard to the overall story, because obviously, you know, we don't want to go too high too soon, but you can still be effective.
Right. Because what you don't want to have happen is he goes down, he buys a bottle of soda, he pays for it, he walks outside, he opens it up, and the Transformers show up and blow the city apart.
That could happen, you know.
It could happen. I've seen it happen in a microwave film once. And then where are you going to go from there? You know?
Yeah, and then obviously the reader's just thinking, did he get to finish the drink? What happened to the drink?
What happened to the drink? Right. So we've got stakes on different levels, and we also have stakes that matter to the individual, plus stakes that are mattering to the plot overall, or what you might consider global stakes, or stakes that matter to more of the characters, you know, larger stakes out there. And so when you're developing this, you're going through your manuscript, and you're taking a look for spots that you're trying to increase it. Because again, the reason why you're doing this is that it keeps the reader interested. When you've got a chapter where at the end of it, you know, a stake hasn't been raised, or a stake raised hasn't been concluded, right? You know, they can accomplish this type of stuff. If those things haven't happened, then it's difficult, you know, to keep turning those pages. We want to keep them moving forward and being excited about this next thing, because I know it sounds weird, but every time, you know, the stake gets raised, like that's going to bring the level inside the reader. You know, they're going to be a little bit more upset, or they're going to be sitting on the edge of their seat while they're reading. It's going to be more intense for them, and that type of stuff. That's what they've come here to do. They've come here to engage in that, and it works in every single genre.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you play a game, and why do we play them? And because you fail, it's that feeling of facing the odds, having to overcome them, and them getting harder on and bigger as you go through the game. And the same in a book, that the stakes get higher and higher, and it's that feeling of overcoming them, and will they, won't they? And that's why it is so important to really pay attention to what the stakes are, why they matter to the character and the reader. Exactly why is it important? Is it to build suspense? Is it to engage them? But the why, I think, is really important, and it really helps when crafting the personal stakes. And when you're starting with, so for example, the character bumping into the ex-girlfriend, or and I think it's really helpful to think, why did I choose them as a protagonist in the first place? So why is this particular character going to be the view through which, or the lens through which we're going to view this story? Like, why did I choose them? What is it about them? Is it a trait that they have? Is it a position that they hold in society or in the story? And that can really help us discover, what's a great personal thing to them, what matters to them, what are their views and their prejudices. And that's just a great starting point, asking yourself that question to, in what way can I raise it on this level at least?
Yeah, exactly. It's really important to know who your characters are, so that you know what to take away from them and what they care about, so that you can get them more motivated to go after something else. So we have, let's talk more about this. So we got these personal stakes, and again, like I was saying before, this is every genre. So, these can be personal stakes can be right there from the beginning. Because you know that you want to create a multi-dimensional character that has both flaws as well as strengths. And so some of those flaws can be stakes that get raised throughout the book. Some of maybe even more cliche ones, like the detective who drinks too much. That could be a stake that then moves forward throughout it. It could be a personal stake in a more dramatic role, of where a mother is trying to win a divorce battle to keep her children. That could be a subplot that's running throughout this. That's something that matters to her, and then the stakes can continue to get raised as new legal documents are filed against her, and so on and so on. And these can be great little tiny raises, and then we could do really big ones as well, though, with the personal stakes that will then interconnect with the plot at hand. So let's say we're talking about romance. Okay, so in a romance book, the main idea is that you're keeping the two people apart from each other. And that is, of course, their personal stake. And so along the way, this gets raised every time, is either if it's more of a comedy romance where things are misunderstood, or if it's a deal where, now all of a sudden the two families are getting involved, and that becomes a larger stake at hand. And so you can see, you can put this, it doesn't matter the genre, you can put a stake anywhere along the way, especially when you know who your character are or who you know, especially when you know what your characters are about, what they want, and what's going to hold them back, and what would make them sad if it was taken away.
Yeah, that it's so true, because I think there's a really strong link here between stake and characters, as to how deep and real they feel, and the really strongly correlated. If you've got a personal stake, something's at stake, between two lovers, but then something bigger in a plot sense is going to happen. I don't know, maybe the building's going to blow up. If that has to then override those personal stakes, but if the character puts more importance on just solving this personal issue over the bigger stake, we're gonna be. I said off earlier, didn't I? Like, we're gonna be saying stake so much in
Yeah, we
this
need
show.
to have a little counter on there. This is a good drinking game show, by the way. Is every time you
Yes,
take on this one, have a drink.
we're doing it.
Yep.
So yeah, if the characters put their personal stake over that ultimate plot stake, then we're going to lose belief in that character. And, you know, that character is not going to seem plausible and they're not going to seem real. And, you know, considering why it's important to them and how are they going to react, you know, when the stakes are raised, it's intricately linked to, you know, how fleshed out your character is, how 3D they are, three-dimensional they are. And if there's a weak character, then it's going to show up when you raise the stakes. You know, they have to react accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and whether it's, you know, at a personal level, so, you know, if they have a belief and you've challenged that belief by raising the stakes, that they act like Peter, you were just saying, you know, act accordingly. You know, that if you're trying to, and this is where we come into problems, you know, where we talk about whether something should be plot driven, whether something should be, you know, character driven, but having those combined together and having the equal amount is where you want it, because you never want it to feel like the plot's jumping in and saying, you need to do this and I'm going to pull you forward and you're going to ignore everything else. And, but you also don't want the character to be ignoring what actually they would care about. And so as you go through your manuscript, you're going to look at this, you're going to look at your characters, you're going to say, yes, I raised the stakes in this portion here. How could I do this a little bit more? And if I do this, so let's do a thriller example. Okay. So if I kidnap a acquaintance, like maybe you've introduced another smaller acquaintance of the detective earlier in the novel. If I take them away and have them be kidnapped, care about going after them, you know, that's where you need to ask that question. So you need to take a look at that, your character's sphere of influence, you know, which one is going to matter more, if they take an acquaintance or if they take you know, his niece. That's when you start really being able to control this better, so that you're picking the right stake to be raised so that the character will respond in a believable manner and move forward.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when thinking about internal stakes and external, you know, like, or your internal conflicts and external conflicts. I think it works in that same way, that, you know, success in one can mean failure in another. So, you know, if there's those, that choice, if there's those two things at stake, you know, kind of one of them has to give way. And I think when considering, you know, what's going to give way for what, and what decisions will they make and seem plausible, it's worth also remembering that with great power comes great responsibility. No, not that. with extreme pressure, generally come extreme decisions, and it's okay, you know, to make decisions that wouldn't always be made, but might be made in that circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to give an example from a book I was working on earlier this month, and it's got a very cinematic element in it, where it has this huge crash. It's setting a neighborhood on fire, and the protagonist is there trying to help, but then the protagonist continually is switching what they care about, right? Because he also cares about his family back home, and he's caring about this guy that he met, and his social problems that are going on, and he's worried about the job that he's going to have. And it was at that moment, you know, you need to really be focused here, you know, that this is when our large plot issues, our outer problems, are hitting the protagonist and becoming their problem. So if I'm throwing this outer problem of having this huge wreck and things are setting on fire, that's not the time for my protagonist to be concerned about whether he's got a job tomorrow. You know, the concern is the fire. You know, so we want to make sure that we're staying.
It would be pretty telling about the character if it wasn't.
Well, yeah. You know, and the character could be, you know, selfish, and that could have been his concern to leave the area, and that would be all right. But to have the character be more concerned about trivial matter, or not trivial, but matters in their own life that aren't directly related to the fire at hand, it became unbelievable. You know, and so we talked a lot about that, and how he was going to have to go back and edit and refocus what mattered at that moment. And it was what it started with, was him trying to help people and get out of the situation. So make sure when you've raised a stake that the protagonist is responding accordingly and not having, you know, not off on some other tangent.
Yeah. And obviously we mean unbelievable, not in the good way.
Right. Right. So
I think it's conversely, like it's worth considering not only like what will they do, but what won't they do?
Mm-hmm.
And that just helps make sure that, you know, that when your character's facing a decision like this and, you know, you're at risk of them making an unbelievable choice, that when you consider what won't they do, like what would they refuse to do, it just helps you flesh out that character a little bit more, give them more of a personality. You know, they've if they have likes, they also have dislikes. If they will do something, they also won't do something. And that there are these two sides, and it gives you a bit of wiggle room when thinking about these decisions and these stakes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so let's talk about the larger ones. We've talked a lot about the personal ones here. When you're talking about larger stakes, getting into more of your plot elements, these need to be raised at proper times. Again, going back, you know, you've got key places that these things can happen throughout the normal flow of the story, by ending acts and getting into the inciting incident and working up to working up to the climax of the story. So you need to start asking yourself on the global stakes, is that enough? You know, have I raised it enough? Have I raised it too much, or have I raised it enough? And I want to give, let's give some examples here. You know, let's talk some examples about what these could be. So, Peter, do you want to do a fantasy example first? Like, what would be a global, outer problem stake that could be raised in a fantasy situation?
I mean, yeah. And I don't think this one applies to, just fantasy, but I don't think you can get much bigger than the world is about to end imminently. Or, you know, think Avengers, you know, a portal's been opened, you know, a world's going to come flooding into ours, like great catastrophe, you know, time bomb sort of stuff. So, you know, we've got an hour, a day, a week, or, you know, something's going to bring about the end. I think that's as big as it gets, really.
That is as big as it gets.
I mean, you've kind of got to care about that stuff if you're in that world.
Uh-huh. You absolutely do. And it can be, and let's use that example for another moment. And you could use that from the beginning of your story, because, you know, the ticking time bomb, the clock running out is a fantastic way to pace a thriller, you know, that you've got to finish it before the end. But if you took a look, you know, if you haven't watched Avengers, watch the first one. It's a fantastic movie. It's really good on storytelling. You take a look at how they did it. You know, they didn't have the portal opening at the beginning. You know, the first thing was something was stolen. And then we have some interactions with the villain. You know, then we have some falling out amongst the heroes. You know, and then we get to the part where we're going to rip a hole up in the sky and open the portal. So it's a natural progression of raising the stakes slightly higher and higher. And this is one of the things that you can go through.
It would be, if we rip the hole in like the opening scene, it's going to be really hard to care about the other state. You know, we've peaked too early at that point.
Right. Yeah. Because then it'd be moving them down, and yeah, you just lose interest. You're like, oh, well, why are we dealing with this now? We've got a big hole in the sky we got to take care of. So again, it's kind of like the fire and burning up homes. So, so you've got that, and you take a look at your manuscript. So you're going through it and you're saying, where are my plot? Have I really upped it? And this is what you can ask. This is a great question. I believe that this is from Donald Moss in his workbook. You know, the question is, how can I make this worse? You know, like, what can happen to make this worse? So
it's usually the opposite of what you ask yourself in real life.
Yes. Right. Where normally you're trying to avoid what things are going to get worse. Here, you want to make them much worse.
Sometimes I feel like I must have started a day off asking myself that question.
You know, and you can get into this. This can be really fast, and you got to be careful that you don't start living like this the rest of your life. You know, like, oh, how can I make this situation worse? Let me just throw this this gasoline right onto the fire.
We've all got that one friend.
And it certainly will spice up the night, but might be dangerous. So you ask yourself that question: how can you make it worse? How can you up the stakes? How can you raise the ante? And you just want to continue to pile on the problems. So let's say, for instance, we're doing a smaller, you know, just a more dramatic, a more literary type fiction novel where it's got some just small things in it. You know, there's not going to be any explosions. There's not going to be anything. Okay. So we start off with, you know, the character, the protagonist, finding out that his house is going to be foreclosed, you know, because he's lost his job. So here we've got a problem. We've lost the job. Okay. That's problem one. How can we increase that problem? Well, we send him a note that, that the house is going to be foreclosed. You know, so we've done a small thing, and then he's trying to figure out how to solve that issue and how can we make that worse. Well, now let's put a time element. In fact, it's not going to be, you don't have 90 days. Now you only have 30 days. You know, and so how can you continually make the problem increase in small increments? Because what you want to have the problem, have them try to figure out how to solve the problem. Maybe they've solved it that way and then make it worse. You know, right before they can solve it or once they have figured out a way to solve the issue.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to make sure that this is coming across properly, you know, it's always useful to show, if you can, show the reader what the consequence is going to be, you know, the what's going to happen if, you know, what's the or else, you know, what are the consequences of this going wrong? First, and then have them try to solve it. So again, you know, you send them the note and you it's revealed what the consequences will be if this doesn't happen, and then comes the solving of the raised stake or the problem. And that's just a great way to ensure that, you know, the reader is involved and engaged with the solving of this problem, because the last thing you want is to raise a stake that, like, no one cares about, because they can't see the consequence of not solving the problem.
Yeah. All right. You definitely want to have the consequence there. And, you know, in this situation, like Peter was saying, you know, the bank could send them a letter or whatever like that. Another way that you could do this is creating a, I was going to say patriotic, that's the wrong word. So you create a character.
Don't do wrong words.
I know. I should have written this one down, but it just barely just came to mind there, though. So you have a way that you can create characters that are symbolic. There we go. You can create a symbolic character that's representative of the possible future for the protagonist. So, and they could have just gone through the same problem and had their life destroyed. And so then we can see that this is the possible outcome, and this is why we should care about it. You know, and that symbolic character can represent that possible future for the protagonist, and then that creates more conflict with the protagonist and more concern, and the reader can understand exactly what's going to happen here.
Yeah, that's a great way. You know, I think it's always useful to highlight something in a work of fiction is to contrast it with something else, you know, to hold the mirror up against something, you know, against the character, against the problem. And it really helps shed that kind of light. It's kind of like the way Darth Vader looks at the Emperor, you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi. It's kind of like that little look, like, okay, I've got a choice here. You know, I end up like that, or I make a good decision.
And this could be another way, actually, talking Star Wars. So in the first Star Wars movie, you know, we have a demonstration of the Death Star, so that we really understand what's at stake, you know, what the power of this weapon is. And so this can be another way, you know, that you can show a test of something, especially if you're in a thriller, that you can really show the consequences of the actions and what's going to be happening if they don't take care of it.
Yeah. I mean, if it was just like, say, you know, the cannot wait. The new Star Wars film that's coming out soon. Rogue One. Rogue One, yes. And at that point, they're building the Death Star. And if we didn't know already what it did, it wouldn't be that much. It'd be like, okay, the buildings. It could be a hotel. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, they're building a, you know, they're just building an intergalactic hotel where people are going to come. There's going to be nice, like really nice rooms. And it looks like it's got a great satellite dish so it can get all kind of reception.
Great Wi-Fi.
But yeah, so since we've already seen it, you know, that kind of prequel story can work that way. So if you're raising the stakes, have you really demonstrated to your reader what is actually at stake here? Do they really understand it? And this is another spot where you're editing through that you make sure that they really do understand it. This is where a beta reader can come in and say, I just didn't get it. I don't understand why they cared so much about stopping this thing. It didn't seem to matter. Couldn't they have just done X instead? And that's another thing you want to take a look at when you're raising the stakes is write down that stake and then write down what are the possible solutions here. You know, are there things that my character is just completely avoiding because I want my story to run this way? And if that's a situation, then you would go through and edit in, you know, parts of why they can't do it the easy way.
Yeah, and if something comes up, you know, that surprise, you know, because I think it can also be a bit of a problem when you have a well-rounded character that sometimes they want things that are a little outside the plot, but you can use that to your advantage and, you know, be okay. Well, we can have a stake, you know, a multifaceted, you know, on different levels, just because the character wants something. And it's just great to, I think, show the reader what the protagonist wants, and then threaten it, put it in danger, you know. So just, I think that's an effective, simple, very oversimplified formula, but, you know, show the reader what it is that the protagonist is going after, and then put that in danger, you know, threaten it all the way through the book. And that to me, that kind of sums up, you know, how a stake works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So exactly. I can't say any better than that. I will say when you're editing through your manuscript, this is a very good technique that when you come to the end of a chapter, you know, if you feel like your chapters aren't moving the reader into the next one, you know, we've talked about cliffhangers and things, raising the stakes is a better way to end those chapters. And because you're going to have, you know, really high moments where a lot of stuff is taking place, you need to have your low moments, you know, the quiet moments, so we can have more character interaction, we can build the character up. But at the each of end of these chapters, if we have a way to raise one of our stakes at the end of the chapter, that's going to propel the reader to want to see how it's solved in the next one. And it's a very easy way to look and say, have I mentioned it? You know, like, because one of the things that can really happen easily is that you can have a stake, like, and you may only have one, and that's a problem. But, you know, you've got this stake out there, and you don't talk about it for three or four chapters, and the reader's just kind of forgotten about it, you know, and it's not moving them forward.
Yeah, like, think, okay, gonna issue something that we rarely issue. Spoiler alert for The Hobbit. You know, we know that the fact that there's a dragon there is a pretty big stake, but, you know, it's talked about, it's talked around, but, you know, it is very much in the background, and the characters then go off and face a series of rising stakes throughout the story. But then at the end of, I think, is it the first one, when they wake him up and fail to kill him, and he flies off towards the nearest town to basically slaughter it. Suddenly, you know, they suddenly become aware that it's not just their lives and their goals at risk. Now there's like a whole village that they've just endangered. And, you know, and that happens right at the end. And it's really, it's a really effective technique to be like, okay, I need to see the next one.
Exactly. Like that's, it's a great way to propel the person forward into reading or watching the next one. And that's what, I mean, you can see it done in drama television all the time right now. You know, at the end of it, they always reveal. They reveal that something has happened, you know, with their overarching storyline that will make you want to get into the next one. Even though you get into the next one, and that's not immediately what they're solving. They're going to do something else along the way. And, but it's that hook that moves them. And that's what I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's why we want to raise the stakes, is because we want to hook our reader from one chapter to the next chapter, to the next one. They just can't stop reading it. And if we don't have enough problems, we don't have enough of these stakes, we're not raising them in the right way, then they're not going to do it. They're not going to be bored, or they will be bored with the story and not continually moving forward with it.
Yeah. And I think that highlights why it's so effective to, when you're thinking about when to do this, why the turning points are a great place to do it. Because for all intents and purpose, when Smaug flies off, to Lake Town, that's the end of Act One, basically. So right at the end of Act One, pretty much, the stakes have just been risen. And then, because obviously when you move into, say, the mid portion or a different part, there's generally kind of like a lowering of tension, isn't there? Because, you know, perhaps more plots come into play, or you need to then move into the midway of the story, and tension can fall. So these turning points are a great place to, you know, just amp it up that little bit and raise the stakes at these points. And, you know, you don't have to always be propelling them on to another book. You know, like Clark just said, it can be the end of a chapter. It can be the next act, you know, the next portion of the book, or just before tension's about to fall. So you want to, you know, you can use it effectively to peak, because you know that there's going to be a period of calm, you know, following.
Exactly. So again, just remember, the reason why you want to have the stakes is to keep people reading. Go through your manuscript, take a look that you have both personal and more of the global plot oriented stakes. Look where you can raise them, both small raises and large raises. And then just make sure, again, that it makes sense for the character, that they would be engaged and interested in following that raise that you've done.
So
yes. Peter, do you have anything to add to close this up here?
I want steak.
I do too.
I don't know why.
I think we'll toss on an advertisement here at the end for some kind of.
Oh, I meant to say great ad read at the beginning. You know, you've totally missed your calling as an ad reader. I could listen to that stuff all day.
Well, thank you. I and it's funny because I do. I just totally get into that voice. And in fact, if you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on iTunes, a like on YouTube, or a plus on Google. Also, come by and like our Facebook page and share the show with your author friends. And if you are an editor who'd like to be a guest on the show, please drop us a line at thebookeditorshow.com. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and for my co-host Peter Turdy, keep writing, keep learning, and build a better book.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for more. Please visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books and extras, and for information on how to be a guest on the show.